Thank you, Brother Mooney. Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Feel a good spirit here tonight. The Bible says the Lord is that spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And it's great to be here tonight. Appreciate all the sponsors and all the men that I know and love. Appreciate wonderful men of God, the steering committee. Thank you for allowing me to come this year, being with you. Brother Sprout, the district superintendent. Wonderful man, leading this district the right way, and receiving the district secretary. And then what can you say about Brother Paul Moon? I'm telling you, he is a wonderful man. He has preached in North Carolina. In fact, just 3 weeks or so ago, he and Brother Larry Booker did our North Carolina district anniversary. And if you come here to this church, you would have been sanctified proud of your pastor. He really blessed the men of North Carolina. And I love Brother Paul and Sister Mickey Mooney. They are wonderful people, great friends, and I appreciate them so much. It's good to be in this great church again. And the messages last night from my good friend and fellow Southeast Missourian, Brother Roland Baker. That's right. Praise God. We're both from Southeast Missouri. Talking last night, you don't just say you're from Missouri. You say if you're from where we were, you're from Southeast Missouri. Yeah. I started first church. We started in Malden, Missouri. So the Baker came, and he was there. He was only about 12 or 13. He came and sang for us. Hey, do you still sing, Brother Baker? Do you? Praise God. Well, we want to hear you, okay? And I've known him for a long time. And also Brother Lindell Anderson that leads this choir so capably. His sweet mother that we met again last night. She's the first one to talk my wife to make peanut brittle. She was in Paragould, Arkansas, and still is, I guess. But she's a great lady, a great Christian. And you sure got me in trouble. I used to have to make that and sell it sometimes. And so, no, I didn't do much of it. My wife did most of the work. But a lot of great folks here. We appreciate all of you so much. Amen. I'm looking forward to the preaching of the word tomorrow night. And I know it's probably not proper protocol to get the pulpit and apologize. But I do want to offer a brief apology for not being here today. Last night, I started going to bed about 1:30, and I developed some real pain in my side, and I never went to sleep till after 7 this morning, and was real sick all night. But I'm not saying that for sympathy. I'm just apologizing for not being here. I don't go to meetings and not attend them. But I will get the tape, these good men, to preach today. Sorry I wasn't here. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Jones preached so well last night, didn't he? And then following me tonight is a man that I've known for a long time. The Texas Tornado. Praise God. Brother Rex Johnson. Oh, I'm just going to get out of his way here so he can preach. He is quite a preacher, and I know we're going to be blessed. Amen. But I praise God for his word at this conference. It's always had a lot of Bible preaching. In fact, I may have attended the first Mark conference. I don't remember. Brother Young, wasn't it in Terre Haute at that time? And I attended and preached at the first meeting there in Terre Haute years ago. Brother Young's been a long time friend. I appreciate him. And so these are all great people. And I've enjoyed coming here through the years. I read something today that said, we sow our thoughts and we reap our actions. We sow our actions and we reap our habits. We sow our habits and we reap our character. We sow our character and we reap our destiny. There's so much truth in that because we really do reap what we sow. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, this is an old story. Bible readers and preachers are very familiar with this. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He had knowledge that the writing had been signed. Don't do what I'm about to do. You're not supposed to do what I'm fixing to do. But he went into his house and he opened his windows. This wasn't a private thing. He opened his windows toward Jerusalem, kneeled down three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. And this statement is made as he did aforetime. As he did aforetime. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight. If I could use just a simple subject, it would be business as usual. Business as usual. Brother Mooney, would you pray?
Lord God, we are so grateful just to be here. We thank you, Lord, for the man of God. We pray that you'll anoint him and strengthen him. And God, help us to receive the word into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for standing. You may be seated, and God bless you tonight. Amen. A young Jewish man, a young man, was taken captive from Judah to Babylon about the year 606 B.C. We learned that he lived through the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Then the Medes and the Persians took over, and he found himself a part of that particular empire. Darius was the king of Persia. And the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter number 6 that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three, there were three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel, 6 and verse 3, was preferred above the presidents and the princes because, there was a reason, because an excellent spirit was in him. This man had an excellent spirit. He had a right attitude. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes thought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But the Bible says that they could find no fault. No occasion for fault was found in Daniel. For as much as he was faithful. There's some good things said about Daniel here in chapter 3 and verse 6 and verse 3. There was an excellent spirit in him. Then in verse number 4, the Bible said he was faithful. That's a tremendous characteristic itself. Thank God for faithful people. Thank God for faithful preachers. Faithful saints of God. Every pastor that's here tonight knows the value of faithful saints of God. Amen. No man can build a church by himself. It takes faithful people. And I thank God for the faithful people that I am trying to pastor. And every pastor feels that way tonight. Every child of God in this building ought to seek and strive to be a faithful part of your church. I believe that everybody ought to be a part of a local church. And that every member of that church ought to be faithful to the work of God in every way. And the Bible said there was no error and no fault that was found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except verse number 5, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, we can't find a thing to pin on him. There's not a thing that we can find that's wrong with Daniel. So if we find anything wrong with him, we've got to find something that's against his God or his religion. We've got to look to that and see if we can find some fault. And then these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said, thus saith King, they said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, princes, counselors, and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into a den of lions. For the next 30 days, sir, we'd like you to sign this petition. We'd like you to sign this decree. That if any man prays to any god other than you, does obeisance before anyone other than you, that he is to be put into a den of lions. They said, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing. that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. When it becomes the law of the Medes and Persians, it doesn't alter, it doesn't change. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And then you come to my text tonight. When Daniel knew this was not something that was hidden from him, when Daniel knew that the decree was signed, the Bible says that he did not deviate, he did not change his previous actions, he did not do anything differently than he had done before. He has been faithful to God. We find it already in verse 4 that he was faithful and he had an excellent spirit. And so he just decided, I'm going to keep on doing what I've already been doing. I'm not going to change what I've been doing. I believe there's a message in this for God's people tonight. That if we're doing the right thing, well, just keep on doing the right thing. Amen. And if we're not doing the right thing, we ought to start doing the right thing. If we're preaching the right gospel, we ought to keep on preaching it. And if we're not preaching it, we ought to start preaching it. Amen. But the Bible says that he didn't have to contemplate the matter. He didn't have to have some time to think it over. He needed no time to consider the matter, for he already had his mind made up. I've had young preachers come to me in the last few years and talk about churches and soul winning and how do you have revival. I asked an elderly preacher years ago when I was a young man, what do you do to have revival? He said, just pray and fast and witness and love God and love people. I thought I was going to get some real deep theological answers from this man of wisdom. And what he told me was just fast and pray, love God, love people, be faithful to the Word of God. I already knew that, but it was good to hear it from a man that had built a great church. And so I'm trying to give the same advice to some younger preachers tonight. Just do the right thing and just keep doing it. You say, we're not having revival in our church. What should I do? Just keep doing the right thing. Just keep praying. Just keep fasting. Just keep witnessing. Just keep loving God. Just keep loving souls. Just keep loving people. There's something to be said tonight about consistency. Amen. I said there's something to be said about being consistent and just doing the right thing. Well, you don't even have to think about it. You just do it. Praise God. You don't have to consider the matter. You don't have to talk to other people about it. You already know what's in your heart. You know what's in your spirit. Praise God. Praise God. There's some people that if they'd have known the decree that was already signed, they probably would have said, well, for the next 30 days, I'll just kind of change my pattern. I'll change my habits. I'll change the way I've been doing it. For the next 30 days, I'll probably just whisper a prayer to God. I'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and pray, but I'll just sit over in the corner somewhere and put the windows down, put shades down, and I'll whisper a little prayer. Therefore, God will know what I'm doing, and God will approve what I'm doing, and the king's people that are trying to find fault in me will not be able to find any fault in me. And, you know, I just can't really pray vocally or openly for the next 30 days. In other words, God, I'll see you next month. For the next 30 days, there's been a decree signed. For the next 30 days, I got to be quiet. For the next 30 days, I can't pray out loud. For the next 30 days, I can't pray as I've done before time. I can't go in my house and raise my windows and pray because somebody is going to be snooping around and somebody's going to be watching and somebody's going to be listening and somebody's going to try to catch me. And if they catch me, they'll go tell the king. And when they tell the king, I'll be put in a den of lions and that'll be the last they've ever heard from me. And I want to tell you something, that was not the spirit of Daniel. Hallelujah. That was not the attitude of Daniel. The Bible says that when he heard about the decree, I know it grieved him in his spirit. I know it grieved him in his heart. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew they were after him. He knew he was the object of their decree. There wasn't anybody else that was lifting up a voice and was praying to the God of heaven besides
himself. He was standing alone. But praise God, if you're doing the right thing, just keep on standing. Amen. The Bible says when you've done all to stand, just stand, having your loins girt about for the truth. And so when you've done all you know to do what's right, just keep doing what's right. Young people in school, praise God, lift up the name of the Lord in school. Do the right thing and just keep on doing it. Amen. In the neighborhood, let's just do the right thing and keep on doing it. Preacher, let's preach the gospel and just keep on preaching it. Let's don't change, praise God. Let's don't take a 30-day sabbatical from God. Let's don't take a 30-day leave of absence from prayer. Let's don't take a 30-day leave of absence from preaching the gospel in this pulpit. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say tonight, I know what's going on. I know what the decree was. I know what their purpose was. I understand their motive, but I'm not taking a 30-day leave of absence. I'm going to go into my house. I'm going to raise my windows. I'm going to lift my voice. And I'm going to pray to the God of heaven. Clap your hands with me. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of preachers that's on today. This is a day that's filled with preacher. And there's a lot of preacher that's on the apostolic pulpit. There's a lot of preacher that's on the Pentecostal preacher and the saints of God to let down in this hour. Pressure's on us as never before. I said, pressure is on us as never before. Hallelujah. And this is no day to pass up. This is no day to become muted or silent. This is the day to lift up our voice. This is the day to keep on preaching, keep on fasting, keep on praying, keep on witnessing, keep on loving God, keep on teaching Sunday school, keep on running bus routes, keep on going to jail, keep on going to prison, keep on going to rest homes, keep on going, keep on doing. Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Whatever you've been doing, that's the right thing. Praise God! Just say, I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm not going to change what I've been doing. I read something the other day that said, life is hard by the yard, but by the inch, life's a cinch. Just take it a little bit at a time. Just a step at a time. Praise God. Brother Merle, you ain't preached by our Labor Day rally Monday in our church. We went downtown Durham in the Civic Center, and we had a house full of folks and a great time, and Tim Spell led our choir, and we had a fantastic Labor Day meeting. But he preached the other night on little by little, how that the children of Israel walked with God and were brought out of bondage little by little. It did not happen overnight. It did not happen quickly. It did not happen in a very a quick manner. But it was little by little. That's what God said. Little by little, I'm going to bring you out. Hallelujah. You don't build a church overnight. You don't win souls overnight. It takes time to win souls. It takes time to build a rapport with people. It takes time to preach the gospel and let its effect be known in the hearts of men and women. Amen. It cannot be done overnight. There's been many a person that started out to do something for God, but when they didn't see instant success and immediate success, then they said, well, I'll change my format. I'll change my plans. I'll change my theology. But bless God, there's some Pentecostal preachers in my conference in 2003 that says, I'm just going to keep on doing the way I've been doing it a four times. Hallelujah. I want to be plain tonight. I believe sometimes we can change our methods. I believe we can change our methods. I'll pick up a good idea anywhere I can get one. I'm an idea thief. Amen. When I hear a good idea, I make a note of it. When I go to church, every place I go, I'm always looking around. I'm looking for good ideas. Dr. Mooney, I'm looking for good ideas. Praise God. And oftentimes, our methods can change. And sometimes in Pentecost, our methodology needs to change. We go to church and everybody can predict exactly what's going to happen. The singing, the offering, the announcement, the chorus, the preaching, and then we're going to go home and we're very predictable. I think sometimes we need to become unpredictable. Whatever happened to just an old-fashioned move of God, whatever happened to somebody saying, we're coming to church tonight and we're going to let God have his way. We're coming to church tonight and we're not going to follow protocol. Praise God. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to praise his name. We're going to shout for joy. We're going to glorify God. We're going to speak in tongues. Is that all right? Praise God, praise God. What's wrong with breaking the routine of the past as far as our protocol is concerned and saying the most important thing here tonight is to have a move of God? Lift your hands and praise God with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And as far as the message is concerned, that doesn't change. For Daniel's prayer, that doesn't change. That's not up for negotiation. Amen. The message we preach is not negotiable. It's not up for negotiation. Praise God. If you've got a message that I like, I'll look at it. I want to see what you're doing. Whatever you're doing that's successful. Whatever you're doing that's bringing revival. Whatever you're doing that's getting God's attention, getting God's power, getting the attention of people. Because I want to see a revival. I'm desperate in my heart to see revival. I don't want to just go to church service after service and there's no touch of God and there's no move of God and no sinners are in the altar and no backsliders are praying through and nobody's touching God and everybody's saved, sanctified, and satisfied. Amen. I want to go to church where there's a move of God. I want to go to church where lifting your hands is not a strange thing. Shouting to God's not out of order. Hey, we're Pentecostal. We're apostolic. Amen. It's all right to clap your hands. It's all right to lift your hands. It's all right to shout. It's all right to dance. It's all right to talk in tongues. It's all right to let God have his way. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody come here tonight to receive something from God? Glory, glory, glory. Amen. You may be seated, but the pressure is on us in this day. I was reading just today where they was having a birthday party for an old gentleman. He was 100 years old. He was having a birthday party. Amen. And they asked him some questions. I was talking to him, communicating with him. They asked him about his life and lifestyle. He said, if I'd have known that I'd live this long, he said, I'd took better care of myself. Here he is having his 100th birthday party. He said, if I'd known I'd live this long, he said, I'd put better care of myself. Years ago, I read about a man, he was 100 years old, he's having a birthday party, and they asked him if he'd do anything differently if he had his life to live over. He said, no, I can't think of a thing. They said, surely there's something. He said, I can't think of nothing. And they said, can you just imagine anything that you would do different if you had your life to live over on his 100th birthday? He thought and thought, and he scratched his head, and he said, you know, I think I would. I think I had my life to live over. I'd part my hair in the middle. And that's just about how fickle some people are. Praise God. Had my life to live over, I'd just part my hair in the middle. But you know what? There's some important things in life. Praise God. We can't call back yesterday. But brother, we do have today. And if God gives us a tomorrow, it needs to find us involved in the work of the kingdom of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Regardless of the pressure and regardless of the times that we're living in, it's time right now for the church to purpose in its heart. Even as Daniel did, it's going to be business as usual. Whatever you saw me do yesterday, that's what I'm going to do today. Whatever I do today, that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the same. That's one of the great characteristics for the fact of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can depend on his sameness. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God, praise God. That some things that never change, and the gospel never changes. The word of God never changes. The way to be saved never changes. Praise God, praise God. There's some things that may not matter. Now, we got some theologians and scholars on this pulpit, starting with Brother Moonin, and a lot of these men. They're scholars, and I'm not scholars. They preach great sermons, and I asked God one time to let me preach a real good sermon. And when I got through preaching it, I got back to the office, and I said, God, I'm just mad at myself. I didn't like that sermon. And God said, I agree with you. I didn't like it either. Amen. And I said, all right, I promise you that I'll never try to preach another fancy sermon. Praise God. Just between you and me, I'll never try to preach another fancy sermon. You know, so many times we tend to look for and go after the flashy things of life, while all along we're overlooking things regarded as plain, insufficient, and ordinary. Let me tell you that everything that glitters is not gold, and everything that is gold and does not glitter. Amen. And so, there's some things that I confess I don't know. And was Melchizedek God or theophany of God? I've got an opinion. I'm not going to worry about that. That's not too important. Amen. Melchizedek's already gone, and I'm not going to worry about him. Some, I heard a few preachers making him while that, whether Lazarus the story of rich man Lazarus was a parable, or whether it actually happened. And they had a heated debate over whether or not that was a parable and whether or not it really happened. And I've got an opinion about that. Amen. I'll keep that opinion to myself. There's a lot of folks that have, questions about. I tell you frankly, I'm going to be up front tonight. I don't understand all the horses and the riders of Revelation. I don't know the color of every horse. I don't know the name of every rider. Amen. I just don't know. We got a man over here that has a lot of expertise in that field. But I don't know a lot about all the horses and the size of them and the height of them, how much they weighed, who the riders were. But there's one thing I know. There's one God. I know that. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God, I know there's one God. Woo! Hallelujah. There's some things that are not really important, but there's some things that are important. And knowing there's one God is one of the important things in life.
Amen.
You may be seated. Every morning when I get up, the last few years, I take a shower. And my wife's glad about that. After we got married, I decided that I was going to, just smell like a man, act like a man. And boy, about the time I got to doing that, nobody won't be around me. So outside, I better take a shower, take a bath. And so every morning, Brother Mooney, when I take a shower, I thought, one of these days I'm going to get old. Not yet, but one of these days, Praise God. Yeah, soon enough. One of these days I'm going to get old. And when I do, if I'm off in a wheelchair somewhere, sitting in a rest home, I want to be able to say, Hill Israel, the Lord our God is one of them. Hallelujah. When I get old and a little senile, and I'm going to choose me in there now, I don't think I'm all together there, but when I get old, Brother Young, I can't think of a lot of things. Every morning I start saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I put this out loud every morning in my life. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God. And Father of all, who's above all, through all, in you all. Praise God, praise God. Every morning of my life, I quote, I'm my Father, I'm one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father. Every morning of my life, for the Baker, I quote, that if you believe there's one God, you'll do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. The old preacher said, if there had been three, he'd have nervous breakdown. He trembles because there's one. Amen. But I quote that. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I'm the first. I'm the last. Which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ is not one part of God. He's not part of God. But in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. I may differ with you on the cuss, of course. I may differ with you on some of the horses, Revelation, who the riders were. I may differ with you on some other things. But, brother, I'm telling you tonight in this Mark conference, there can be no variation. There's no margin for error in this one God teaching. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said to me here a while back, said, I noticed you baptize in the name of Jesus. I said, yes. And they said, well, why don't you baptize like Matthew 28:19 says? And I said, everybody that I've ever baptized, I baptized like Matthew 28:19. And he said, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. Well, we had a little room for discussion there. And finally he said, I heard you say in the name of Jesus. I said, would you mind reading? I said, quote me Matthew 28:19. I just brung that on real quick. He said, I can't do it. I said, well, get your Bible. I said, I can quote it, but you get your Bible. Praise God. I was waiting for Trent Perrin Preacher in my office one night, and he said, if I can show you where baptism use the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is right, will you let me baptize you? I said, I certainly will. And I said, only if you'll let me baptize you, if I can prove baptism in Jesus' name. He said, all right. Praise God. And so we struck an deal in my office. He said, you go first. I said, no, you go first. I said, no, you go first. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going. He said, you go first. I said, all right. I said, turn to Matthew 28:19. He said, can't go there. I said, why not? He said, that's my verse. I said, that's my verse. Every time I prove baptism in Jesus' name, I go to Matthew 28:19. They were not having a baptismal service. No one was getting baptized. Jesus was given a charge, a command, a commission. And he said, go and teach and baptize. Three great commands. He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but here comes 1,001. Jesus just baptized them in the name singular, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I turned to my friend and I said, what is that name? He said, go ahead and tell me. I said, what's the name of the Son of God? He said, Jesus. I said, you're right. Matthew 1:21, she's the rank of the Son. I said, call his name Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. I said, what's the name of the Father? He said, I don't know. I said, let's go to John 5:43. Jesus said, I'm come in my Father's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Hebrews 1, he got his name by inheritance. Where do you inherit your name? From your Father. Praise God, praise God. And in John 17:26, Jesus said, Father, I declare to the world my name. I said, what's the name of the Father? He said, must be Jesus. I said, all right. What's the name of the Son? He said, must be Jesus. And I said, what's the name of the Holy Ghost? And he said, I don't know. And I went to John 14:26, and the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. And I said, brother, what's the name of the Father? He said, Jesus. I said, what's the name of the Son? He said, Jesus. I said, what's the name of the Holy Ghost? He said, Jesus. And he jumped straight out of his chair and said, baptize me right now. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. I don't believe we baptize folks by compromise. We baptize by giving them the Word of God. Thy Word, O Lord, is forever established and settled in heaven. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I baptize him in Jesus' name. He is now a United Pentecostal pastor. He's preaching the truth. He's pastoring the church. He's loving God. Person this year we baptized, church God pastor. He passed from the same town with me for about 15, 18 years. And he always called us Jesus only from his pulpit. Because actually he said, stay away from those Jesus only people. But earlier this year, we baptized that pastor in Jesus' name. And he resigned his church. Amen. Monday night, at the Civic Center, a man told me, he was a preacher, and he told me the nomination. And they didn't believe the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. But when Brother Ewing got through preaching, and the power of God started moving, his wife was standing over there, and she lifted up her hands, and she told me after church, my wife was there, and Brother Ewing was there, and she said, for 30 years, I've wondered about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but she said, tonight, I got it. Praise God. Praise God tonight. And then she turned toward her husband, who said he's a preacher in another church. She said, now we got to go after him. Right in front of him. I said, we'll do that. Praise God. We'll do that. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. We've got a message you don't have to be ashamed of. You don't have to be afraid of this message. Praise God. And we don't have to preach it with a bad spirit. And we don't have to preach it with an ugly attitude. And we don't have to send folks to hell. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. Hallelujah. 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 I believe we ought to preach it with a good spirit and love people. But we ought to preach the word. I'm in a God's altar. I'm in a God's altar. How many gods are there? Amen. So when it comes to our message of oneness and of one God, it's business as usual. It's business as usual. We'll sit down with anybody anywhere and talk with anybody and show them the Word of God. We'll listen to them. We'll have a right spirit. But when all is said and done, friend, we've got a tremendous technical illumination of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. There is one God, and His name is one. Glory to God. When it comes to repentance, it's business as usual. I said, when it comes to repentance, sometimes people are more interested in counting heads than they are in getting people to God. And I don't think the church ought to get caught up in this numbers game. I believe we ought to love everybody, Brother Mooney, and reach every soul we can. I want to do that. That's why in our local church, Brother Mooney mentioned, we just bought 51 acres and we're planning on building a new church. And we got a lot of dreams and plans for the future of that church. But Brother, I'm not interested in just counting heads. Hallelujah. And just slide over the truth and get in a numbers game. But if I understand repentance right, it's confession of sin and it's forsaking sin. Repentance is not being preached in a lot of churches tonight. So we're telling folks to come and get the Holy Ghost. And that's wonderful. But in many cases, we're not telling them and leading them in a way to repent of their sins and come to God by faith and repent of their sins. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and also in verse 5, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. When it comes to repentance, it's business as usual. When it comes to water baptism in Jesus' name, it's business as usual. Praise God. One man told me here a while back, he said, he said, the new birth here, first of all, of the water is when you're born of your mother. That's the new birth. And I said, then he said, it's being born of the Spirit. His idea of being born of the Spirit was believing on Jesus Christ. And he said, the moment you believe, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? It's one thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's another thing to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said to him, can you believe the first birth, the birth of water that Jesus spoke of in John 3:5, is just the birth of your mother? And he said, that's right. I said, then you have to admit that Adolf Hitler and Al Capone and Jesse James were halfway born, at least weren't they? Halfway born again. Because they were born of the mother. I said, according to your doctrine, all of these men were halfway born in the kingdom of God. Jesus said you must be born again of water and spirit. Praise God. I believe tonight that the new birth is not joining the church, is not signing the card, is not shaking hands with the preacher, is not walking the aisle, is not just making public confession, but when you're born again, John 25, it's of water and of spirit. Which simply means you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Some people say the Holy Ghost is a little extra. One man described it as like a spare tire in your car. One preacher told me, he said, you know, getting the Holy Ghost is like buying a car, and on some of them you get a radio, and some of them you don't. Some of them you get radio tires, and some of them you don't. That was his explanation. He said, now, it's all right to get the radio, but you can run your car without a radio. And he said, it's all right to have radio tires, but you can run your car without it. He said, so with it or without it, it doesn't make any difference. The Holy Ghost is just an addendum to it. It's just a little extra. It has nothing to do with salvation. Praise God. And I said, my friend, as far as I'm concerned, you can't equate the Holy Ghost to a radio or radio tires. Let's equate it to the motor and the transmission. That car is not going to run without a motor and without some gas in the tank. You're not going to go anywhere. Praise God. Being born again is of water and spirit, which means you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Can anybody believe that tonight? Praise God, praise God. You say nobody wants to hear that again. That's not the truth. There's still people that are hungry for God. They're hungry for truth. They want to hear it. They want to hear it. Come on, preacher. Let's be faithful. It's business as usual. It's business as usual. Praise God. I'm teaching a home Bible study. I'm down to last lesson or two to a young couple. And when I started talking to her, she said to her family and friends, I will never be Pentecostal. She said, there's no way. I will never be Pentecostal. And she's a very intelligent person. Her husband's a very wonderful person. And they have a child that's 12 years old. And you know what? That child got baptized, and they came to see her 12-year-old get baptized. And she said, I'll go this time, but I'll never, ever, this is what she told me later, little lady, she said, I'll never be Pentecostal. I'll go see him get baptized, but I'll never be Pentecostal. Praise God. And I preached that marriage, and that she comes here, her son get baptized. I preached on the subject, one denomination is as good as another. And I'd advertise that in the paper. I'd put a big ad in the paper. He preaches tomorrow night, one denomination is as good as another. Praise God. And so we kind of went in the background where it all started. And then we came to the New Testament church. Praise God. If you want to know where this church started, you've got to go back to an upper room. Amen. This church didn't start in Los Angeles. Thank God for Jesus Christ. But that's not where my church started. Hallelujah! Thank God for Charles Parham's Bible School at the turn of the last century when kids got the Holy Ghost spoken tongues. But the church I'm in didn't start in Topeka, Kansas. It didn't start in Arkansas. It didn't start in Houston. It didn't start in St. Louis. It started at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Get about glad for Pentecostal tonight. Get about glad to be Pentecostal. Get about not saying of who you are, what you have, what you've received, your identity, your purpose, your vision. Get about not ashamed of that tonight. Praise God. So you may be seated. So I got through preaching. She came up there crying, Brother Black. She said, Pastor, I don't know what's happening to me, but something's happening on the inside of me. She said, I can't explain it. And she cried, stopped the tears, and the tears kept flowing. And I'll make a long story short, she got baptized in Jesus' name. She got the Holy Ghost. Her husband did the same. They are now in our church. They attend every service. They're paying tithe. They're loving God. And they're reaching out to win others and already involved in some of the activities of our church. Praise God. It's business as usual. She said, I'll never be Pentecostal. But you know what? One trip to an apostolic Pentecostal church ought to be able to have such a profound effect upon the person who's distant that they will never feel the same again. It doesn't take 6 months. I believe one trip to Calvary Tabernacle ought to cause somebody to say, I don't know what it is, and I don't know what's going on there, and I don't understand everything that Brother Moody's preaching, but there's something in that place. There's something real. There's something happening. You know what brought Pentecost in the 20s and 30s and 40s? It wasn't the music. It was not the building. It was not the singing. It was the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My prayer is, oh Lord, do it again. Do it again. The most important thing here is not the carpet. It's not the vehicle. It's not the bathroom. The most important thing here is the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. My God, we need that in this church. We need every church to be saturated with the power of God from on high. Oh, hallelujah! Any man have not spirit of Christ, he's none of his business as usual. Thank God for the revival in the Big Census. Thank God for Stone's Folly and Charles Parham's Bible School. Have the Holy Ghost in. Thank God for Zeus's Creek, for the Seymour, that wouldn't let him preach in a building. So he preached in the yard. He preached on a street corner. And so many things that the kind of building, and it was related that he was dipping his head in a peril, and he prayed by the hour, and prayed for God's power. And when people would walk in front of that temple building, they would simply fall under the power of God. You say, brother, go there? This is 2003. You are right. But God's power has not diminished. God's power has not diminished. Hallelujah. There's got to be some absolutes in this church. Amen. If I have a deed to my house and I say, I've got property, it's about 150 feet wide and it's about 300 feet deep, and I could say, I own that much land. So, you know, since I own that much land, I can just claim it right in downtown Durham. I could say, since I own 150 to 300 feet, I think I'll take that. Right downtown. And if I was to try to practice that, somebody'd say, no, no, no. The deed spells out your boundaries. The deed says that to the north and to the south and east and west. In other words, the deed lays it out and defines it and describes it. Praise God. And this Bible lays out and defines and describes how to be saved. I thank God for the plan of salvation. I thank God for the plan of salvation. And it has not changed. Amen. And I'm going to close quickly. But the whole approach to church and to worship has become centered on how to make things easy for people to be saved. And no matter how much you try, my friend, you cannot change the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. But yet, that is what affects our society, which we have. Make it easy. Make it quick. Take away the commitment. Take away dedication. Don't require any dedication. Don't ask people to take a stand for anything. Don't ask them to do anything publicly. Just that might embarrass them. Bring the world to church and deify it if you can. Make the world's agenda God's agenda, and everything will fit just fine. There's only one thing wrong with that philosophy. In the finality of it all, it just won't. God set the agenda, not man. And God says there are several things that are necessary. And the new philosophy is to accept Jesus and add him to your agenda, and he'll make things better in your life. The main thing which is being overlooked, I think, in religion is the process today that is the element of desperation. Man is no longer afraid of the consequences of a sinful life. He no longer sees himself as dangling over hell, and that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save him from his desperate dilemma. May I say that again tonight, that Mohammed can't save, and Buddha can't save, and Hare Krishna can't save, and some young moon can't save. There's only one Savior in the entire world, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said there's only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not out to offend people, but I'm going to preach Jesus and Him crucified. I'm going to preach the power of God. I'm going to preach apostolic Pentecostal faith. I'm going to preach there's a revival for the last days. I'm going to preach we need full altars and full pastries and full prayer rooms and hearts that are full of the Spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. One man was teaching in his college class, and he said to the students, I want you to know that there are no absolutes. There are no absolutes. No black and white, everything's a pretty dingy gray. There's no absolutes. One of the students raised her hand and said, sir, are you sure about that? He said, I'm absolutely sure. They want to be absolutely sure about what they want to be absolutely sure about, but they don't like for the church to be absolutely sure about anything. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you there's a word that hasn't changed. There's a gospel that hasn't changed. Hey, Daniel, what are you going to do today? I'm going to go to my room, and I'm going to pray three times. I'm going to lift my window, and I'm going to pray to God of heaven. What if they hear you? I don't care. It's business as usual. Hey, sir, what are you going to do tomorrow? Well, tomorrow I'm going to go to the window in my room. I'm going to raise my window. I'm going to pray three times. But they may hear you. It doesn't matter. It's business as usual. What are you going to do day after tomorrow? Well, day after tomorrow, I'm going to go to my room. I'm going to raise my window. I'm going to pray three times. What if they hear you? It doesn't matter what they hear. I'm not praying for their benefit. I'm praying for the God of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God there's a church tonight that is preaching an absolute message. Glory to God. And if the day comes that somebody says 100 pennies does not equal a dollar, and the 12 inches doesn't equal a foot, and the 3 feet does not equal a yard, and the 4 quarts does not make a gallon, brother, they can say what they want to, but I'm going to take stick with the same old thing that God has said for. Hallelujah. God, help us tonight. We are in trouble in the kingdom of God if we try to change our message to fit the life and the lifestyle of those who attend our churches. It's business as usual. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there's nothing broke about this Jesus' name apostolic message. It's still wonderful. Every time I hear baptism in Jesus' name, I get excited. I've been preaching it pastoring for over 41 years, but every time I hear it, I get excited. Every time somebody talks about the Holy Ghost, every time I see somebody get baptized in Jesus' name or get the Holy Ghost, I get excited. Every time I hear somebody talk in tongues for the first time, I get real excited. Hallelujah. Every time that I'm teaching the Word of God in the pulpit or in a home Bible study in a home, and you begin to seek one God, and you see the illumination of truth begin to come in the face of people, and you begin to see their countenance change. All at once you know they've got a revelation of who Jesus is. I never get tired of that. I like that. It's business as usual. I heard my preacher put him say years ago, he said that he talked to Reverend Huff, who was a pastor of a local church. I won't say which church it was. But he said, the pastor came to him and said, as they were communicating, and said to our Pentecostal pastor, he said, your people look like Christians. And that's amazing. He said, how do you do it? And my friend said, the Reverend Huff said, what happened in your church? And he said, well, he started crying. He said, it was so gradual. It was so gradual. He said, I woke up one Sunday morning and went preaching my pulpit, and I realized I was preaching to some people that had drastically changed, and I didn't even know it. I wasn't aware of it. This denominational preacher was crying. Tears were flowing down his cheeks. He said, I want to tell you, sir. He said, I started preaching to a people that I realized had changed, and it had happened so gradually. I didn't know it. And he looked at my pastor friend and he said, don't ever change who you are. We don't need to change our repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost speaking in tongues of one God and holy living and righteousness and separation from the world. We don't ever need to change. Hallelujah. I said, we don't ever need to change. God, help us not to change. Praise God, praise God. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings, but shorter tempers and wider freeways. We spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families and more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense. We have more knowledge, but less judgment. We have more experts, and yet more problems. We have more medicine, but more sick people. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get too tired, read too little, and pray too seldom. That's the paradox of our time. We multiplied our possessions, but we've reduced our values. We talk too much and love too seldom and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, but we haven't learned how to make a life. We've had years to last, but not last to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but we've polluted the soul. We've conquered the island, but we have not conquered prejudice. We write more, but we learn less. We plan more, but we accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are times of fast food and slow digestion, big men and small character, cheap profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce, fancier houses, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It's a time when there's much in the showroom window, but nothing in the stockroom. We've got plenty in the showroom window. We have nothing in the stockroom. Let me ask you this. Does our past have a future? Well, Black like to talk about our past and our wonderful glories. We talk about the dead Pentecost and all the way down in Sousa Street and Topeka, Kansas and Houston, Arkansas and Louisiana, and where they had breakings out of revival. I like to talk about it. Brother C.P. Kilgore came to Portageville, Missouri, my little hometown, and he preached an old press Bible meeting in 1929. They threatened to kill him, but he preached anyhow, and he started a church, and my daddy was about 9 years old, and he never forgot that. He later became an alcoholic, but he never forgot what he heard that preacher say. And in 1948, 19 years later, there was still a little church there with a dozen people in it, and my daddy went to an altar and prayed and was baptized and got the Holy Ghost. Brother C.P. Kilgore planned the seeds of apostolic revival in Portageville, Missouri in 1929, and there's still a church there today. It's hard to kill a church if it's built through the Word of God. Praise God, praise God, Brother Baker. It's hard to kill a church if it's built on the Word of God. We need to build a church on apostolic doctrine, apostolic power, apostolic anointing. Hallelujah. This church needs a fresh anointing. We need the fresh oil of the Holy Ghost. We need a brand new church from heaven. I don't know how you feel, but I want that. I desire that. My soul reaches for that. I want a brand new touch of God's power that will be more than a match for this hour, which will help. He comes up tomorrow. Our musicians will come, please. You've probably heard the story. It's not original with me. Two Frenchmen were in a houseboat. We were going to go fishing on a little bayou down in Louisiana. And they went in the night before, cut in the boat. And they were going to tie it up to a tree, something down on the bank. And they were going to fish there the next morning in that bayou. But overnight, as they slept in that boat, overnight, the knot came untied. And they drifted down the river. Just drifted. As they were sound asleep, drifting down the river. Next morning, the sun came up. Tippetoe looked out. And he didn't recognize the thing. And he said, "Hey, Boudreaux. Hey, Boudreaux. Wake up!" Boudreaux started kind of getting the sleep out of his eyes. He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Tippetoe," said to Boudreaux, he said, "We ain't here no more." He said, "Well, we ain't here no more. Where are we?" He said, "We're 20 miles from here." "We ain't here no more, Boudreaux. We're 20 miles from here." I hope that's never said about this apostolic church. But we kind of sleep downstream. One day we wake up and say,
You know what? It don't matter when you baptize in Jesus' name. It's all right to use the titles. It's just a puddle of words. It's systematic. It doesn't really matter. I hope we never reach the place where we wake up and say, we ain't here no more. We're 20 miles from here. I don't know about you, but when it comes to this message, it's business as usual. Let's stand to our feet. Let's lift our hands together. Let's lift our hearts together. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Oh, God. I wonder all over this building right now, this beautiful conference, great saints and preachers and men that are here. I wonder if we can all pray a prayer together, Lord. When it comes to what I'm going to do today, I'm going to go in my room. I'm going to raise my window. And I'm going to do as I have aforetime. I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing. Daniel, there's one thing about you, sir. You're very predictable. Every Monday morning you go to your room, you raise your window, you pray three times. Every Tuesday you go to your room, you raise your window, you pray. Every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday. I can take a 30-day rest and I can save my life and I can save my heart. But I'm not going to take a 30-day sabbatical from loving my God. I'm going to do as I've done it before time. I wonder if there are preachers and saints all over this house that would raise their hand and say, God, with me it's going to be business as usual. I'm going to love this truth. I'm going to love my God. I'm going to love souls. I'm going to love the lost. I'm going to reach everybody I can for this day. Because tonight's coming when no man can work. Come on, raise your hands.